Amen. Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. I'll begin reading in verse 24. Paul speaks of himself as being a minister of the gospel. And then he continues, "Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for the mighty working of your Holy Spirit. And we know that the indwelling Spirit has been purchased for us by the blood of your Son. Dear God, and you told the disciples, Lord, when you departed, that if you departed, you told them it was expedient for them that you would go away. That if you did not go away, the Comforter would not come. But you said, if you went away, you said, I will send him unto thee. I will send him unto you. And so you have sent him now, that you're at your Father's right hand. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And God, I prayed work in our hearts tonight to draw us and closer to you, make us more like your image. And fill me with your Spirit. Help me ministering the word tonight. I thank you for the services this morning, for the word of God that went forth. And God, to the children, to the adults, and worship service, Sunday school classes, God, I thank you for Sister Lindsay in the nursery tonight. Fill her with your Spirit and use her there tonight. And God, once again, edify your church. Draw us closer to you. Give us that which will strengthen us. Draw us closer to you in our walk with you. Lord, should you tarry, prepare us for the week to come, and we might be the lights in this world that you've called us to be. That'll only happen by your word and by your power. And so we pray for it. We look forward to it. We ask these things in Jesus' name for his glory. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. All right. Tonight we're looking at From Mystery to Ministry. From Mystery to Ministry. And we've kind of been going over some of this also through the study in Galatians, so some of the things will be familiar. Paul shares them again in Colossians. And though it appears, as we read the book of Colossians, the Apostle Paul had never met this new body of believers, yet he expresses by way of letter his deep concern for their spiritual growth. Through his prayer, he taught them the great principles of the Christian life, and he declares to them the person and power of the Christian life, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see, first of all, in the lesson tonight, every Christian must serve Christ because we have been, number one, enlightened in the mystery. Every Christian must serve Christ because we have been, number one, enlightened in the ministry. Paul writes about it. He says, "This mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest." In other words, it's no longer a mystery. It's clearly, but now is made manifest to his saints. What is the mystery in the Bible? We talked about this before. It's not something we haven't figured out yet. The word mystery in the Bible has the idea of some sacred thing which is naturally unknown to human reason and can be made known only by the revelation of God. It's also something not fully known in the past, but now revealed by God. And that's exactly what the church is. The church is the new thing. The church in the New Testament age, this age of grace that we're in, is the bringing together of Jew and Gentile in one body to serve God. When we saw the Old Testament, it was the nation of the Jews. They were a chosen nation. God worked through them, And by the way, anybody could become a Jew. A Gentile who believed could come to the Jews and learn about their God. He could, if a man be circumcised, bring his family in, they could become Jews and believers. They would be Jews. And so God was reaching out in the Old Testament through the nation of the Jews. However, through the crucifixion, the leaders of the Jews and most of them, what? Rejected Christ. And so the Bible teaches us that God, as far as the nation of the Jews goes, and his working through them primarily, God has what? Set them aside for a while, and now he's working with Jew and Gentile, bringing us together in the church. And that was the mystery in the Old Testament that was not clearly shown. It was not spoken about that God would do this. They knew that Gentiles would be saved. They knew that Jews would be saved. They knew that God was the Savior of the world. But this bringing together and working them together in one body was not revealed in the Old Testament as it is clearly revealed now in the New Testament. No longer a mystery. We see it very clearly. He says this mystery is made manifest. It means to make apparent, known, to show openly. When you have a ship or an airplane or something and you have cargo, the captain has a manifest. And there's stuff in the cargo that you can't see. But the manifest what? Has to declare everything that's in there. It has to show it openly. And Christ has, though it was hidden in the Old Testament, it is now manifest. How God is working now is through his church. Jesus said, Simon Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said, "Simon Peter, flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven." And he said, "I say unto you, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." So the church will be around until Jesus returns. Some people are trying to tell us today, well, the church age is over. No, we need to have just home Bible studies and all these things. And this idea of somebody standing up and preaching the word of God, that's old stuff. Well, not according to the book, okay? Jesus said that the gates of hell would not prevail against his church, and that he would use that until he comes after us, or we go home to see him through death, whichever would come first. We've been enlightened in that mystery. We know that he sent his son to die for us and to rise again. He has revealed these things to us, that salvation comes by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. It's so wonderful. He's given us the record of the word of God. I love this record as it's recorded in 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 through 13. In 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 through 13, we read, "And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life," and in the context talking about what? Eternal life. "He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe in the name of the Son of God." One of my favorite verses to share when I'm out visiting. Have you ever come to a place where you know for sure that you'll be in heaven when you die? Well, I don't know if anybody could know that. And when I share with them, well, you know, if that was me making that up, I would be a little skeptical about what I just told you as well. But then I'll show them. I'll put my Bible toward them, and I have it highlighted. But it's the Bible that tells us, and I'll quote this verse right here, in 1 John 5:13. "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." I didn't say that. The Bible says you can know you have eternal life. You see, God didn't go through all this, folks, so you and I would have to wonder about eternal life. He didn't send his Son to die on a cross and rise again, so people would just say, "Well, I hope I go to heaven when I die." Well, we'll see how it works out. That's